Changing Lives.
So what he was doing is implanting the belief that you are a high relapser and that you're going to relapse in 30 days. What other option do you have now?
She's an authority on addiction, and she offers the Addiction Freedom Program. She talks about what's wrong with rehab and with 12-step. As a flat-broke single mom of two with no resources, money, help, or partner, she transformed in 1994 literally millions of people's lives all over the world with her teachings. She's an authority on how to make rapid and massive change in your mind, body, and spiritual life through hypnotherapy and NLP. Please welcome Wendy Friesen to Self Talk Radio Show, brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, people and planet-friendly skincare. Find them at Bed Bath & Beyond or online at pureenergybody.com. Hi, Wendy.
Hey, Sarah. So excited to do this with you again. Yeah. I just remembered how fun it was last time, and I love your show.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. I love all of your programs. I love your financial abundance. I keep going back to it. Yeah, I get abundant, and then, you know, the brakes come on, and I'm like, oh, I got to work on myself again. So that's a great program that you offer.
Right. Well, see, that's actually one of the most common things people talk about with a financial abundance when they're trying everything they can to get over their blocks to wealth or their motivation or stopping self-sabotage. They only get so far, and something stops them. Something like kind of takes them down or holds them back. And that's probably the biggest thing that people ask me for help with.
Yeah. And I saw on your Facebook wall, I think a little bit ago, there was a little girl who was a bedwetter, and you had worked, I think you sent a recording or something to her mom. And she said after one session with it, that she didn't have any problems anymore.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And people really agonize over bedwetting, and the poor kids that can't go stay overnight at someone's house, or, you know, there's so many things in life that interfere, plus the horrible feeling of wetting the bed every night. But she just used my recording. My first client for bedwetting was a boy named Grant, and he was 7 years old. I think is either six or seven. And we did just one session, and he called me the next day and he said, "Wendy, this is the best day of my life."
Aww. Yeah, you work with all ages and all sorts of different challenges that people have. And basically, these are recordings of your voice and for neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis. Is that an accurate synopsis of what you do?
Yeah, for sure. So when in 1994, when I was really broke, I was reading the newspaper, the Sacramento Bee, which I hardly ever did, but I saw a little tiny ad in the classifieds that said hypnotherapy school, and I called them, and they said it starts tonight, and I didn't know anything about it, but I was always curious about it. So I went, and it was 9 months long, and I kept going, and
wow.
Then I was sitting in a sharing an office with a woman, and both of us were sitting in the waiting room with no clients, and saying, "Well, you can't make any money in hypnosis. It's just too hard to get clients and get people to come in." And we sat there and complained for an hour.
and then 10 million people later.
Yeah. So what I did was I grabbed the yellow pages. Again, we're going back to old school here. Grabbed the yellow pages, opened them up, and put my finger on a name. And I think it was an insurance company. So I called them and I said, "Hey, did you know how hypnotherapy can do blah, 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 whatever?" And then I did it again. And it was a radio station, like the big radio station in Sacramento. And I called up and I said, "Hi, I'd like to have a talk show. How do I do that?"
I love that. I love it. And that radio show was amazing. Do you still have recordings of that somewhere?
I don't think so. Oh. I think they're probably long gone. But anyway, what happened was she said, "Well, wait a minute. Our morning talk host is standing right beside me. Let me give the phone to him." So she gave the phone to him. And he said, "Well, you know, it's not that easy to get a radio show, but why don't you come and be my guest on Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. And oh, my God. And it was it's a big radio station. So it had a really big reach. And the night before, I was so terrified that I was going to cancel. And for everyone listening, I want you to understand how important it is to take a chance of, even if it's something you're really, really afraid of doing, take a chance. So I was in my car driving and I had pulled up at a red light and I thought, no, I can't cancel. I can't do that. I've got to do this. And so I decided, oh, wait, I've done radio show guest spots hundreds of times. I've done them all over the place. I've done them on national radio. I'm really good at this. It's so easy. And every time I walk in a radio studio, it's a piece of cake. I just, when I see the mic, I start talking and I have fun. So I did that and decided I was already famous. And I look over at the car next to me and there's a woman in the car next to me. And I thought, oh, she recognizes me from my radio show.
Ah! That is awesome. So you put it in your head, you know, what you want to be instead of what you don't want to be. You put it in your head. What do I want to be? I'm already there. And let the, you know, let your brain take over from there, right?
Yeah. So even though I knew that this was fake, it still gave my brain this excitement and energy and curiosity. And I said, as soon as I see that mic, I'm going to be fun and be happy and people will love it. So now I had at least a little different thing to operate on. When I went in that studio, he kept me in there for 3 hours. And we had, the phone lines were all lit up for 3 hours with people asking questions. And I found out that I'm really good at being engaging on the radio. Mm. But if I hadn't taken that chance, Sarah, I never would have known.
Yeah, as they say, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Now, you have all of these recordings that help people with everything from weight loss to stop smoking. How did you end up going in those different directions?
Well, it was desperation. I was so broke and so desperate, and I had no money to try and get products made or printed or recorded. So I recorded cassette tapes on an old tape deck I had with a $20 microphone from Radio Shack, and then I had to duplicate these cassette tapes. At first it was one at a time, and then I got a little one that did six at a time. And then I had to make covers and do packaging. But I could do it in small quantities to start with, and people were buying them. Well, back then, it was really hard to make a website. You had to know someone who could code. And my 12-year-old nephew knew how to code a website. So he made me a one-page website, and then people could order something, and I could send it to them. And I just kept making recordings, and then finally you could record directly to a CD. And it just kept selling and selling and selling, you know, because back then I didn't have much competition. But it just kept going.
Man. So your 12-year-old nephew made your website, and then you became, you were enormous in the late 90s. I remember, I think I found you in the 90s, and I ordered the Abundance package from you, and I loved it. I still listen to it. I have the packet of papers in my nightstand. I go to it religiously. Because sometimes you need a jolt and, you know, you forget things and it's like, oh, yeah, I remember this now.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have a tune-up. Come up.
Yes.
There's new reasons why you might hold back. And as I had described in my experience when I was working on the financial abundance stuff, because I was on the couch for 3 months, just so depressed. All I did was get up and take my kids to school and pick them up and did nothing for like 3 months. So I decided to find out what the positive reason is for me wanting to be poor. And so this is called parts therapy. So I closed my eyes and relaxed and I noticed where the part was. It was in my stomach area, which is usually fear. And I asked that part, why do you need me to be poor? And the part said, because I need you to be pitiful. And that didn't make sense and it hurt. And I said, thank you. Even deeper, why do you need me to be poor? And the part said, because I need you to be more pitiful. And that really hurt too, because Sarah, that was just not in my, you know, in my wheelhouse. And I said to the part, why do you need me to be more pitiful? And the part said, because then you'll be rescued. So at that point, tears flowed because, and it still bothers me right now to even say that. I get a weird feeling, but I never would I need to be rescued. I would never go to that point of feeling like somebody needs to come in and rescue me. But there was a part of me that did figure out that that was a way to get out of this deep, dark place. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but not really, because look at the way that we are conditioned as young children. I mean, we look at the princesses who get rescued, and you know, Barbara Stanny's been on my show. She's now Barbara Hewson, and one of her books is Prince Charming Isn't Coming, and you know, it's a great book. So, but yeah, our culture just puts it into us that that prince is going to come on his wild steed and rescue you, and sometimes that's not the case. And it's interesting that that was in your subconscious and preventing you from your financial abundance, and that you overcame that.
Yeah, and that doing that parts work was a really big shift in what I did. So the next thing I did is I went into my future, and I would, again, I would close my eyes, relax, get into a little bit of a trance, and I'd find a timeline or a path, and I would follow that to 3 months in the future and find out what's happening, 6 months in the future. And at 1 year in the future, I was surrounded by all these people who I had helped and all these people who were so grateful for the work I had done. And I had written a book and everybody was loving my book. And I had sold $1 million or more, $1 million in sales online. So I come back out of that future moment to the present moment, and now my brain has something that is very enticing and compelling and exciting because I felt it and I was in it. And now I'm so motivated, and it just naturally pushed me to go take some more chances and do some things that resulted in a lot of business. And after 1 year, I had sold $1,012,000 of my programs.
Wow. Wow. So now,
and I wrote a book and people were buying my book.
I didn't know you had a book all this time. What's wrong with me? Where is your book on Amazon?
I think there's still some on Amazon. Mostly it's an online purchase, but I have some here as well. But it's Hypnotize Your Lover is the book I wrote back then. Men kept emailing me and asking me about hypnosis for sex and for all different aspects of sexuality, like sexual dysfunction or problems or how to be more a better lover and things like that. So when I emailed them back, I would type a lot of stuff and that would become a chapter of the book. So it just kind of came from that. But my newest book that I'm just finishing up, it's in the editing phase, is about a trip that I took in a sailboat across the Atlantic Ocean. And wow. Oh boy, it was something. But I typed every day on that trip. And so I have a book from that. And it's a really exciting book.
Oh,
and scary.
Cool. And scary? Why is it scary?
The last 6 days, we had storms and squalls all day, every day, and 15 to 18 foot waves that just wouldn't stop. And it would just didn't stop, Sarah. It was so scary. Oh my God.
Man, not exactly conducive to peaceful writing. Hard to type.
Yeah, but
when
I
you're
still typed, just like I was typing that someone heard me, because I had a crew of three people that I had hired, but the tension was really raising because of that. And at that time of the year, there's 250 boats that all go together from Spain, and they go to the Caribbean, to Saint Lucia. And people said, oh, you could take a bathtub across the Atlantic at the end of November. It's really easy.
Man.
One time when it just was nonstop. Boats came into the harbor, because we all came into the same harbor in St. Lucia, with their broken masts, sails that were shredded, that things that were just broken. And these two guys from Norway that I was sitting with, they said, oh, it's really weird. Like, we saw a little speck of orange between the waves out in the middle, and we wanted to go see what it was. But it's amazing that they even saw a speck of orange. It was a life raft with two men in it whose boat had just started sinking because it broke in all those winds and waves. And they rescued these two guys.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I would not do well. I like to type on land, you know.
Well, I'll send you the book and you can start reading it. Oh my God. Yeah, it's something.
That sounds great. Yeah, I do want to read your book. We're speaking with Wendy Friesen. She is a world-class trainer and works with neuro-linguistic programming, hypnotherapy. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Wendy more about her addiction freedom program. When we come back on Self Talk Radio Show. Need to stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby? Check out meditations free at sleepmeditation.org. Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest, Wendy Friesen, is here. And we want to talk to you more about your addiction freedom program. We're hearing a lot about the opioid epidemic, and you've had some personal experience with that in your own family. If you could talk to that, what happened with your family?
Yeah, well, when I was doing hypnotherapy and creating programs, I never imagined I would do anything for drug or alcohol addiction, because there are experts that are in that field and they're doing the very best thing that they can to help people. And so it never crossed my mind to do that. My son was struggling with alcohol and it had been pretty bad for a while. So about 20 years old, 21, I put him in the first rehab, and when he said, I'll go to rehab, I was like, oh, finally, it's all going to be better now, which parents think, you know, okay, well, this will fix him. So I wrote a check for $30,000 and flew him down to a place in Southern California, and he was there for a month. And I thought, okay, everything's fine and dandy. Well, I went to one of the meetings down there that they do 12-step meetings. And they brought a man in who was a professional AA speaker that goes around and speaks to these different rehabs. And the first thing he says to this group is, I've been sober. Oh, first he said, yeah, I'm George, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, George.
He says, I've been sober for 20 years. And I got to tell you that every day I still white knuckle it, hoping I can make it till midnight. Oh, my God. What he just did. Oh, my gosh. It's like a waking hypnosis suggestion. He future paced them to 20 years in the future and reinforced that every day they're going to struggle and white knuckle it to make it till midnight. That was terrible.
I was shocked.
And, you know, I thought, okay, that's just this one. Well, my son went on to be in 5 different rehabs over 10 years. And in the first sober living place he went, he was taught how to shoot up heroin by the other people there. So another place, the director was asking one of the guys, he says, you know, this is in a meeting, he says, so you're a high relapser, right? And the guy goes, yes, and I'm in shock. So what he was doing is implanting the belief that you are a high relapser and that you're going to relapse in 30 days. What other option do you have now? So then he also tells everybody, well, you know, Christmas is coming up, and that's a time where everybody relapses. It's really hard. It's going to be really tough. And then, just to see what they were doing to people and implanting these horrible beliefs. I saw this at rehab after rehab. One of the places, there was a young girl. She was about 18, and we were all in a circle around her, and she's in the middle in a chair. A psychologist did psychodrama. This one really made me mad. She has the girl close her eyes, take some deep breaths. Imagine you're in your bedroom, because you're going home tomorrow. Imagine you're in your bedroom, and the drugs are talking to you. They're all trying to get you. They want you to do them again. So she has 4 men stand up around this girl and pretend they're the drugs and go, rah, rah, rah. And psychologist says,
I don't know much about therapy, but that sounds like something, that's the last thing I would want to be thinking about.
Yeah. Isn't it horrible?
Yeah.
To implant fear in this girl's brain in her bedroom so that now she's going to be scared to be in her bedroom. So then she has the guys go outside the room because there's windows from the outside, and she tells them to bang on the windows. So she says to the girl, now they're out there, they're trying to get into your room. You can hear them, they're banging on the windows, and the guys are banging away. And Oh, it's just disgusting. That's what they're doing in these rehabs that I paid, $25,000, $30,000, $35,000. One of them that Sean went to in Southern California was about $33,000. And they're a huge rehab center because they figured out a way to not have the 6-person limit. So they have about 100 people. The director knew about me and he asked me to come and meet with him in his office. And he said, we only have about a 5 to 7% success rate, and we'd like to try and make it better. And I know you're doing some work with addiction. I just wrote him a check for $33,000, and he's telling me they have a
Oh
5%
man,
success rate.
man. So what is a different strategy that can be used for addiction?
Yeah, so what I learned from all the failed attempts of Sean being at rehab is what they are doing. And I've got, not just the stories I told you, there's like 20 more, that would make you so mad. So they are accidentally hypnotizing you to fail. And AA makes you fail because you always have a disease, you're always an addict, relapse is part of recovery, and and you're powerless, and all these beliefs. So what I did is what I know works for everything else that we do with hypnotherapy. And I have the addicts do the self-sabotage work, which is finding the part of you that needs to have the alcohol or drugs and clearing that up. And then I have them go into a future, go 3 months in the future. And what I'm saying to them at that point is, wow, at 3 months in the future, when you look back on what you were struggling with, it just feels so easy now. It's like something just flipped a switch and the lights went on, and you love what you're doing in your life. Like, that's the short version. Then they go 6 months in the future, and we do that some more. And then we go 1 year in the future. And at 1 year in the future, look what you have created. You've got your family back with you, and people really love what you're doing. You're making money. And just notice how much you are an inspiration now to others. Then I anchor 3 words. And of course, it takes a little longer to describe it than this, but basically, they're in that future, and I say, you're strong. And what does that feel like? And you're healthy. You're mentally healthy. You're physically healthy. You love what you're doing to keep your body strong and happy. And so you're strong and healthy, and then you're in control. And notice how it feels to be in control. You trust yourself, and it's just the way you are. And so here's a really cool example. This one guy named Ken, in his 1 year in the future, he saw himself as an athlete. And he told me, this was just from the recorded program, and he called me and told me, this is the weirdest thing, because I'm not an athlete. I'm a fat slob drunk, and everybody knows that's all I am. And even though I quit drinking like a month ago from your program, I just can't imagine that that future is right. Did I do it right? So, guess what? Now, he's been an Ironman athlete for 10 years. He does Ironman competitions all over the world, and even he got into Kona Ironman, which is the very top elite one.
Wow.
Isn't that bizarre?
That's amazing. That's amazing. And so you've had these successes coming through, and I do know that you had a tragedy with Sean. Sean passed away from his addictions. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half ago. And Sean had been clean on and off, and he had quit drinking at different times. But he didn't want to use my program because he was a genius. He was really smart, and he had a hard time with letting other people help him. So wherever he went, he just couldn't buy into people being an authority because he was from 6 months old, we knew he was a genius. It was extraordinary. And he's 6'4" and gorgeous and so charismatic. And I had a training for therapists. I was training them in the alcohol freedom or the addiction freedom program. And Sean had stopped by and I said, Sean, after the break, why don't you tell him what it's like to be an addict, to have, all the feelings that goes along with it. So he got up and talked for 45 minutes with no preparation, no. And he was riveting. They were just hanging on his every word. It was just beautiful. But heroin is, he was doing heroin off and on, and it is a scary thing. And if you do heroin, it will be the best day of your life and the worst day of your life. once you do it one time, I guess I've never done it, but you will never forget it. It will always haunt you, and it'll make all your problems go away. So it's a tough one. He was here with me for a little over 3 weeks, and he wanted to go back to Montana. So I got him a bus ticket so he could go back to Montana, and he didn't make it out of Denver. So, you know, it's so many people, they just want like one last time or just tonight, that's it. Yeah, so that was, oh boy.
Oh, Wendy, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and then, well, yes and no. I mean, there are things that not the non-mom could do. If Sean had found a person who was a therapist that did hypnosis or NLP who was smart enough to get his respect.
Yes. He
could do, but for, especially for young men, you know, they don't respect much a lot of times. And if they do find opiates and they realize that, oh my God, that takes all my problems away. Everything's great. You know, and mm-hmm. that's why it's the best day and the worst day.
Yeah. And you can't live, and you can't live past that, I guess. As far as someone who has an opioid addiction, what advice do you have for them?
Well, the hard part is the withdrawals. It's about 2 weeks of really torturous withdrawals if you've been using to a certain degree. And the way Sean described it is your body's on fire, your bones are on fire, you have horrible diarrhea constantly, and you're just sweating and shaking, and it is like it's been described. So as soon as you start feeling those withdrawals, you go, oh, I can't do this again. But if you do go through a detox, which, you know, there's plenty of places that just have you there, they monitor you, and they might do a little bit of methadone for detox. The thing that you need to do afterwards is a program like mine that gets you so committed that you find something you love so much in your life that you're doing that you wouldn't give it up for anything. And I have so many processes in the addiction program that connect you with who you're meant to be, why you love living this life so much, what makes you proud, or all kinds of things. Like even with other drugs, like meth is so hard for people to get off of. And I had a client named Sonny, and his wife had thrown him out, and he wasn't allowed to see his kids. And he had been kicked out like probably about 9 months earlier, but many times. So we worked together, did many sessions and one-on-one. And he walked back into my office 6 months later, and he brought me a yellow silk rose, which I still have, and said, I have my family back. They're proud of me, and I love them, and nothing could take this away from me. And because we just did the work that put him in the place where he knew nothing's going to screw this up. Nothing could take this away.
I love that you're doing this work, Wendy. It's so, so needed now more than ever. How can people work with you?
Well, there's a couple ways to do it. If you want to do the program on your own, it's in a course format. So you go to wendy.com, which is W-E-N-D-I.com, and you'll see the Addiction Freedom Program on top. And then as you go through the different sessions, it has you do some writing assignments, which is really important. And it's not difficult to do. You just spend a little bit of time each day and make sure you won't be disturbed. And you go through each session, and there's a workbook as well that helps you have a place to write things down. And then you start having these realizations and feeling good because it's very positive, not like AA, which is scary negative. But they can do it that way. They can come and see me in person for 4 days. And I've had a lot of people fly in and do a 4-day intensive, which is really amazing. The transformation that happens. We work together for about 5 hours each day.
Wow.
And then we can also do it with personal coaching. And I've done this quite a bit. I have a call with you for 14 days. So every day for 14 days, we're going to talk for about 15 minutes. And having that accountability is so important for you to know that someone's there listening and checking on you. And you're using the recorded session still. But we talk every day, and then we get over some of the difficult obstacles, and I give you ideas on how we're going to get through some of the things you're stuck on.
That is fantastic. Wendy Friesen's been my guest today. If you'd like more information, you can visit her website, Wendy, WENDI.com. We'll also have links on our website to selftalkradioshow.com. Wendy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. I'm really glad you let me share all this information because it is really powerful to get to change your life or the life of someone that you know that's struggling with addiction. I would like to get, I'm going to make a coupon that's called Self-Talk, all one word, and it'll take 30% off any program. I have tons of programs there, but especially for the addiction one, you know, to take, to get started on that or even buy as it a gift for somebody. So yeah, it's wendy.com, Wendy with an I, and then use the coupon code Self-Talk and it'll give you a big discount.
Thank you, Wendy. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So make sure you check it out. Wendy, WENDI.com, and also links on selftalkradioshow.com. Thanks for being on the show, Wendy.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, Mind Changing Radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.